Welcome to a powerful message from the Lighthouse Chapel International, Bronx North Branch. Lighthouse Chapel International branches worldwide provide every member the training, support, and encouragement to fulfill the Great Commission and to go to heaven and hear Jesus say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Join us for a life-changing experience as you listen to this message.
Our beloved Father, please come down and lead us. We are waiting on your touch.
Pray, O Lord, as we have come, we ask, O God, that you speak to us. And as you speak, Father, may your words fall on fertile grounds. May our hearts be fertile grounds. May our hearts receive your word. And may we have a transformation in our lives. We pray, O Lord, that we will not take any offense to your word, but may we receive the engrafted word of God, which is able to change us and transform us and save our souls. We thank you, Spirit of God. We ask that you take control of this service. We subdue every voice that is not of God. May you have total control and speak to us. We love you, Jesus. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Clap for these ones. It was a powerful ministration. I entered with a heart full of joy. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Wonderful. It's good to see you. It's good to see you. Hallelujah. It's powerful. I miss all of you. So this evening, we want to continue. I think we want to conclude, by the grace of God, the series of messages that we've been sharing for several weeks. Do you know the topic of that message? What is it? Godliness. Hallelujah. Wow. Good church members. Serious Christians. Christians who use the preaching for their quiet time. And they remember what they have been taught. Christians who are like the people of Berea. They go home and they search to see whether the things that they heard in church are true. Hallelujah. Wonderful. So we have been sharing from this message about godliness, and we want to just read our foundational scriptures and then we will continue. So why don't you turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. The Bible says, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation." This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. What is it? That bodily exercise profited little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Hallelujah. God is teaching us that it is more profitable to exercise ourselves unto godliness. Hallelujah. Because godliness profits us in this life and in the life that is to come and in all things. Hallelujah. In all things, godliness profits us. Hallelujah. Being a godly person will profit you in all things. Hallelujah. And I believe we shared so many things about godliness. Hallelujah. We said godliness will give you more benefits, will profit you in so many areas. Hallelujah. When a young man or a young woman is looking for a husband or a wife, what you need is to exercise yourself rather unto godliness. Hallelujah. When you want a husband, it is more profitable not to be spending time polishing your face and wearing nice clothes. It is better not to spend more time losing weight. You see, some people, when they want a husband, they realize that they need to lose weight. And then when they find a husband, then they gain the weight back. You see? Is it true or false? Some people, when they are having a wedding, they try as much as they can to lose weight. Some men also, they do a lot of weight lifting. And they wear certain shirts that are tight. When they are in church, they don't like to wear their suit. As soon as they get to church, they take their suit off so that the women will see their muscles. They are so happy when we have dress down Sundays. You see the muscle tees. And then the woman, hey, I didn't know you had. He says, oh, but how? You see, they walk like this. They can't even put their arms on their side. They walk like this. Hallelujah. But you realize that profits you very little. You see, dressing nicely, polishing your face, losing weight, and having a nice body shape and all sorts of things will gain you a husband. But if you are going to profit in all things, and in this life, present time, and in the life to come, the future days and years, it's not your body that is going to keep the man. It is not your face that is going to keep the man. In fact, you will come to a stage where the man will not want to see your face. No matter how much makeup you put, they don't want to see your face. Hallelujah. And then you also realize that bodily exercise, it gets to a point where you can't continue on. You see? Then you see that the body is changing. But what is going to keep you in the relationship, what is going to maintain the marriage, what is going to make the man happy with you or the woman happy with you, is not your bodily exercise, but your godliness. Hallelujah. That is why it says it profits you in all things, in this life and in the life that is to come. It will profit you today. It will profit you tomorrow. It will profit you 5 years to come. Hallelujah. And not bodily exercise. Amen. So in this, we studied about an example of a godly person. Do you remember? Or characteristic of a godly person. And we read a story in Acts chapter 10. Can we turn to Acts chapter 10 and read that story again? Acts chapter 10, I think, is a very interesting story. Acts chapter 10, and let's read from verse 1. He says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God when? Always. He prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodged with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, He called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter said, "Not so." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Hallelujah. And it goes on, and it goes on. Now, we learn from this story few characteristics of a godly person. The first thing we said was that what? A godly man has a job. A godly man has a job. Hallelujah. We said that you can be a godly person and still keep a job. Amen. That you are busy with work should not make any excuse for you not to be godly. Hallelujah. And we shared so many things about it. The second one, what did we say? A godly person is a prayerful person. Hallelujah. A godly person is a prayerful person. The Bible says of Cornelius that he prayed to God always. He prayed to God always. Hallelujah. If you are godly, one of the things you do often is to pray to God all the time. Hallelujah. The next thing, what would we say? A godly person gives alms. He's not armstrong. He's not cheap. He's not hard at giving. Hallelujah. A godly person gives alms. You see, do you agree with me that godliness is profitable unto all things? Then we are learning, what are godly things? What does a godly person do? Because one may ask, what does a godly person do? And we are learning about the things that a godly person, or characteristics of a godly person. Hallelujah. The Bible describes Cornelius as a godly person. That means that the things that Cornelius did whilst he was on earth appeared to the heaven, and God described him as a godly person. Wouldn't you want to know about what he did? Wouldn't you want to be like Cornelius? Wouldn't you want to be described by God as a godly person? And that is what a godly person does. He prays, he gives alms. Hallelujah. What else does he do? A godly person serves God with all his household. If you are godly and you want to remain godly, it is best that everyone around you is encouraged to also serve God. Hallelujah. It is very difficult to serve God and a whole lot of people around you do not serve God. It is very difficult to serve God and all your friends are orangus. All your friends are some way. All your friends are unbelievers. You cannot serve God like that. You cannot be described as a godly person. Cornelius did not have people who did not fear God. He served God with all his household. Hallelujah. Abraham served God with all his household. Amen. What else did a godly person do? A godly person will be given a man of God. Hallelujah. If you are godly, one of the things that we should see in your life is a man of God. Someone that you receive from. Someone that you call your pastor. Someone that God has given you to receive from. Hallelujah. A godly person will be given a man of God. Hallelujah. What is the next thing? A godly person has respect for dreams and vision. Hallelujah. A godly person has respect for dreams and vision. And I believe we shared a lot of things about dreams and vision when we reached here. Was it the last one? Yes. So we said a godly person has respect for dreams and vision. Hallelujah. Having respect for dreams and vision means that you have respect for God speaking to you. Amen. God speaks to us in dreams and in visions. Hallelujah. Now, if you don't hearken to your dreams, if you don't pay attention to your dreams, you will not know the ways of God. If God visits you and he gives you a dream, and you neglect the dream and you overlook the dream, and you don't take that dream seriously, you realize that it ends there. Hallelujah. Because we were sharing that as far as our service to God, you see, if we all know, if God was to reveal to us the end of what he's planning to do, you see, then it will be very easy for everyone to serve God. But God is not interested in a whole lot of people knowing the end and for that reason serving him. He's interested in people who have not seen but yet believe. He's interested in people who have faith in him. Hallelujah. And so when you are walking with God, he will always take you one step. And when you obey, that is when he will take you to the next step. Hallelujah. When we know the end from the beginning, trust me, everyone will serve God. But that is not what God is interested in. Amen. When God gives you a dream, he expects that you ponder over the dream. He expects that you pay attention to the dream. He expects that you hearken to what the instruction is in the dream. But oftentimes, as we read in Acts chapter 10, we associate so many things with our dreams. Oftentimes, we say, oh, it's because I was thinking of this. That is why I had a dream. But if you are a Christian, don't take any dream lightly. No matter what you are thinking about. You see, that is the reason why God was showing us in this passage clearly that you can be thinking of something and dream about that thing, and still it is God talking to you. To just show you that God speaks to us in dreams. To just show you that you have to take your dream seriously. Hallelujah. We saw that Peter was thinking about food. Peter was hungry. The Bible made it so clear that when he went up, the reason why he went up to pray was he was just praying, waiting for the food to be ready. That is the reason. If the food was ready, Peter would not have gone up to pray. Do you understand? But he went up to pray to wear out time, like what we do as a Christian when you are waiting online or something and you are idle and you don't have your iPod or something to listen, you start praying. Do you see? Or sometimes when you can't sleep, you find it difficult at night to sleep, you pray. And then as you are praying, you fall asleep. Or you pick a Bible and as you are reading, then you fall asleep. You see, that is what Peter was doing. He was just wearing out time. And as a godly person, if I am here alone, then let me just pray. Let me talk to God. And as he was praying, he fell asleep. And he dreamt about food. He dreamt about hunger and provision of food. So when he woke up, you would have thought that, oh, Peter must have thought about the food. That is why he dreamt. Do you see? That is what we would have said. If Peter came to you and told you the story that I was very hungry, and as I was waiting, they were preparing the food. So I just went upstairs waiting for the food, and I decided to pray, and I fell into a trance, and I had this vision. You say, oh, Peter, your stomach was talking to you. Isn't that what we will say? But you will realize that this was the vision that God revealed to him, his ministry, his real ministry to the Gentiles. And Peter could have just associated this dream with food about what he was thinking. So it doesn't matter what you are thinking of. It doesn't matter what happened the night before. Or it doesn't matter what just happened before you went to sleep. Dream is a dream and God is talking to you. Hallelujah. And take it seriously. And we realize that as these people took their dreams seriously, God took them further. Hallelujah. God took them further. There's another person who also had a very strange dream that I want to share with you. Another person who had another strange dream that he could have just thrown away. First, let's go to Matthew, the book of Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. I just want to share that with you before we go to the next one. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. Are you being blessed by this message? I think we need to take our dreams very seriously. We need to take our visions very seriously. And I was sharing with you that when a vision, you see, sometimes you just fall into a trance. And then some strange thing appears. Some strange thing happens. And then you wonder, what is this? You see, don't throw it away. Don't overlook it. Don't say, what is this? And just leave it. It is God revealing something to you. Hallelujah. It is God revealing something to you. Peter said he fell into a trance and then suddenly he saw this sheet, you know, strange animals in it, all kinds of four-footed beasts. And then you see, sometimes you are there and something just occurs. Sometimes you are there and then it's like a river and something and just something just passes. And then you, what is this? Perhaps I was thinking of a beach. And then you find all other reasons to explain why this happened. But I believe that as a Christian, God is always talking to you. God is always trying to get your attention. Hallelujah. So Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18, the Bible says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Hallelujah. Do you see? Joseph is a just man. Means another word for godly person is a just man. And he didn't want to make any disgraceful act or behavior around this woman. So when the woman came and told her this wild dream that, you know, an angel of God visited me, he says that when, as his mother Mary was espoused, they were engaged to be married. Before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Ghost. And then she told her husband-to-be that I am pregnant. And this pregnancy, it's from a Holy Ghost. Now, how many of you would accept something like that? And then you say, how did the Holy Ghost came in my dream? Of course. You say, are you mad? Do you think I'm a child? You see, he said, do you think I was born yesterday? Hallelujah. Those days, you see, it wasn't like now that we are so familiar with the Holy Spirit and that, you know, manifestations, and it wasn't like that. Do you see? So for Mary to come up and say, you know, I am pregnant and it's with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, is it a man or a woman? You see, Joseph could have said, "Chia, who is the Holy Ghost? You think I'm a fool? Do you see? Do you think I'm a fool? Do you think I was born yesterday? Clear off. Give me some better story and stop telling me. If you have cheated, just tell me. But stop coming and come telling me about Holy Ghost. And have you heard of anything like this before?" Isn't that what you would have done? You see, but the Bible says, this man, when he heard, he decided that he will put the woman away privately. Go away with your pregnancy and just marry your Holy Ghost. You see? That is what he was planning to do. And even, it says, verse 20, the Bible says, but while he thought on these things, what things? The dream that Mary had, that the Holy Spirit visited me and made me pregnant. The Bible says he thought about it. He didn't just brush it and say, you are a liar. You are such a disappointment. You have disgraced me. You are a disgraceful woman. And so, but he pondered over it. He thought about it. He paid attention to the dream. He didn't just brush it aside. He didn't just say, who is the Holy Ghost? But the Bible says, while he thought on these things, he pondered on this dream. And whilst he was doing that, behold, do you see? Whilst he was thinking about the dream, whilst he was analyzing the dream, it means that he paid attention to the dream. He treated the dream with some respect. This is what he had planned to do, but he gave heed, he paid attention to the dream. And whilst he was doing that, the Bible says, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. Do you see? And again, you will think that he's having this dream because of what he was thinking about. I want you to really get something about dreams. And I'm not sure if you are grasping it. I'm not sure if I'm getting you to pay serious attention to your dreams. Hallelujah. Because you see, it can really be deceiving. It may be associated with something that you are thinking about. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? Yes, you want to marry so badly, and then you have a dream about someone and say, I was just thinking about him. That is why I dreamt about him. You have to pay attention to your dream. Hallelujah. You have to give your dream some importance. Amen. It says, whilst he was thinking about these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, truly. It's of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Look at that. Just you ponder over this dream. Just he thought about this dream. Look at this great revelation that is coming to this man. And all he did was he paid heed, or he paid attention to a dream that was so bizarre. Is somebody understanding what I'm sharing with you? That was so bizarre. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. The name came to him through the dream that he also had by thinking of someone else's dream. The name Jesus, look at how it was revealed. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. Look at a prophetic happening being fulfilled in a life of a simple man just because he paid attention to a dream. Hallelujah. Just because he paid attention to a dream. Amen. Are you reading with me? It says, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with a child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted is God with us. This powerful revelation, simple man, it is occurring in your life. You are involved and you are part of this great happening. Hallelujah. And the next verse, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. He did just as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. It means that he's someone who took the dream seriously. But oftentimes, God reveals something to us in a dream, and we don't do what we are being told in a dream to do. We neglect Sometimes God visits you and the dream requires that you rise up to pray for someone. And then you just dream and say, I had a dream about this person and the person was dead. Or the person was sick. And God did not just, why didn't God just visit that person? If the person, God needed for you to tell the person, yes, the person to pray. Then God should have told the person. But God decided to come to you because there is something about you and something about your prayers that God is interested. And that is why he came to you and not the person. Hallelujah. There is something about you. There is something about your prayers. There is something that God likes about you when you pray. That is why he did not tell the person, did not reveal the person's tragedy to him, but then to you. And then you rise up and, hey, Reverend, I had a dream about this person. You have to pray for him. All. Why didn't God come to me and reveal that to me? If God wanted me to pray for the person, why didn't God come to me? Hallelujah. Is somebody understanding what I'm sharing with you? I say when God visits you, he expects you to do something about the dream. He wants you to do something about the dream. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? So he says, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife. Now, there's a revelation right there. You see, there are some of you, God reveals to you who you should marry. God reveals certain things to you. Sometimes through other people, God reveals to you who you should marry. But you see, this woman has a setback in her life. This woman has something that is shameful about her right now. But the angel visited Joseph in a dream and said, take Mary, who is now pregnant with the Holy Ghost, as your wife. But sometimes, oh Lord, this one that didn't go to school. This one, even the way she dresses, or the way he, even the job that he has. This one that doesn't have the papers. Oh Lord, this one that doesn't have this, the way he looks, he's too langa-langa, he's too skinny, this one is too fat, this one is too short, this one is too tall, I am taller than this. And so many reasons that you find and you disqualify the person. But that is the person that God wants you to marry. Yes, the person has something shameful about her, but that is the person that God wants you to marry. Hallelujah. And God says, yes, she is pregnant. It appears before all men as a shameful pregnancy. Yes, she has a child already. Yes, she has three children and she has divorced three men. But that's the one that I want you to marry. Hallelujah. And God visits you and reveals such a great dream, such a great thing to you. And then you wake up and you give all sorts of excuses. It's because he's been harassing me. It was because the way he looked at me. It's because, you know, the way he was talking to me. Because these days he calls me too much. That is why I'm having this dream. And then you give all sorts of meaning and you trash the dream. Trash the dream. Hallelujah. And you trash the dream. But this woman had a setback. But he says, take unto him your wife. Amen. I hope somebody's being blessed. Hallelujah. And the next scripture, look at that. And knew her not. Look at that. He says, he took upon him her, as his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Look at the godly person. Just based on a dream, Wilson, just based on a dream that he had, he decided, I'll marry you, but because of what I have seen in a dream, I can afford not to sleep with you for the entire pregnancy, and I'll take care of you. Based on a dream. Simple, a dream. How many of you would do that? Only prof. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you understand what I'm sharing with you? And he did not have any relationship with her until the child was born. Hallelujah. That is a godly man. Amen. Wonderful. Are we going to take our dreams seriously? when we fall into a trance and we have a vision, are we going to take these things seriously? Beloved, I think God visits us. And you see, Joseph would not have had this next dream if he didn't ponder over the dream. Peter would not have had the next step if he didn't ponder over his dream. Cornelius would not have had the next step of God's move if he did not take that dream seriously. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Wonderful. Well, the next one that I want to share with you, the last one, is that a godly person has respect for a man of God. A godly person has respect for a man of God. The last one, a godly person has respect for a man of God. Hallelujah. You see, in this story we are reading in Acts chapter 10, you realize that Cornelius had a personal encounter with an angel of God. He had a one-on-one encounter with an angel of God. He had a visitation, a clear visitation, a clear vision with an angel of God. Amen. You know, this encounter could have made Cornelius very proud. This encounter could have made Cornelius very pompous. Hallelujah. This encounter could have made Cornelius say, I actually have encounter with an angel. Angels visit me. You know, when I need something, angels come. They talk to me personally. What is a man of God going to add to my life? Do you see? He said, God sends angels directly to me. This encounter could have made him very proud. Hallelujah. You see, but the Bible says the man prayed. The man prayed to God. And God heard his prayers. God hears your prayers when you pray. God hears your prayers. We don't know what he was praying about. We don't know what he's been praying about all these times. But God knows your needs. The Bible says that we don't even know what we ought to pray about when we pray. But the Holy Spirit, who searcheth our heart, he maketh intercession for us in groanings which cannot be uttered. So God knows our needs. And so when our prayers rise up before him, that is why a lot of times what we pray for doesn't look like that is what God has given us. But God knows what we need. Hallelujah. And the Bible says this man, he prayed. And his prayers came before God. Not just appear before God, but it became a memorial before God. Hallelujah. And God heard him. And God, knowing exactly what the man needs and that his prayers have risen to him, he sent to him a man. God sent an angel to visit Cornelius. But when the angel got there, the angel did not tell anything that Cornelius needed to do concerning his prayers. Do you see? Concerning Cornelius, Cornelius has prayed. And an angel has visited him. And the next thing that angel did was to arrange for him to have an encounter with a man of God. I tell you, a man of God coming into your life is an answered prayer.
Amen.
Hallelujah. A man of God coming into your life is an answer to your prayers. It's an answer to what you have been praying about all along. Save that you don't hear what he says. Hallelujah. You don't heed to what he says. Sometimes there is a lock on what you want. And sometimes the answer comes in the preaching. And it comes in the preaching. Not once, sometimes twice. But you neglect it. Because you want to hear God directly telling you to do A, B, and C before you know that this is coming from God. But Cornelius, he had respect for a man of God. Hallelujah. So it does not matter how many times, or it does not matter how deep you become spiritually. It does not matter how many times you have dreams and how powerful your dreams are. You know, there are some people, they become very proud because of their dreams. You know, there are some people, they come and because of the dreams that they have. You see, and these things, these revelations, it can make you proud. Hallelujah. We heard that from Apostle Paul. He said that for all the revelations that God gave him, I mean, most of Paul's revelations, they were also in dreams. Do you understand? He said for all the revelations God gave him, it was going to make him proud. So God gave him also, what? A thorn in the flesh to perfect him. Means to neutralize you. To not make you too proud. Hallelujah. So it does not matter how many encounters you have with angels. It does not matter how many dreams you have and how often you dream. It does not matter how many times you have visions and how powerful your visions are. It does not matter. You will always need a man of God. Hallelujah. It does not matter that you have more dreams than a man of God. It's possible. It's possible that you have more visions than a man of God. It's possible that you have more revelations than a man of God. But you will need a man of God. If you are godly, you will need a man of God. And you have to have respect for a man of God. Hallelujah. It does not matter how powerful you become. You will always need a man of God. Amen. Cornelius had such respect for the man of God. Hallelujah. I believe that when the angel visited him, Cornelius, being a godly as he was, he would have longed for himself to go and search for this man of God. He would have gone to Joppa himself to find this man of God. Save that, he did exactly as the angel bid him. And what did the angel bid him? The angel said to him, send men to Joppa. Cornelius did not send men because he felt too big to go and search for that he was a centurion. He was an army general and to ride around looking for the man of God. That is not the reason. He just did exactly as the angel bid him. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? You know, even look at verse 6. Look at verse 6. Look, it says, and I'm talking about Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10 and verse 6. Acts chapter 10 and verse 6. Look at that. It says, verse 5, it says, and now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon. And call for, you see, if this was a popular prophet in town, in Joppa, he would have just said, and call for prophet Simon. You see, but when someone describes something and say one Simon, it means he's not a popular man. I can see, do you understand what I'm sharing with you? Listen, isn't that correct? He says, and call for one Simon, whose surname, you have to even qualify him so that you know, whose surname is Peter. He lodged with one Simon Tanner, whose house is by the seaside. You see, he does not even have a place to live. The man of God does not even have his own place. He is pledging with someone. Hallelujah. He's pledging with another one called Simon, who can even cause more confusion. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? So what I'm trying to describe to you is the nature of the man of God. How simple he can appear. How simple God can present him. How so unpopular God can present him. How so not powerful God can present him. And how powerful you are. But you still have to have respect for a man of God. Hallelujah. Do you see? He says, whose surname is Peter? He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by a seaside. Look at the description, detailed description before you can find him. If it was some popular man, he said, just go to Joppa and ask Prophet Peter and they will just show you. Or Prophet Simon. Do you see? He didn't even have his own place. But the Bible says, but as soon as the angel left, you see, and when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants. As soon as the angel left, he called two of his household servants. Salome, do you see? he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. He didn't call some part-time soldier. He called a full-time, the one that waited on him continually. He was sending people who were important. That is how much respect he has for dreams and for a man of God. Amen. And when he declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. Hallelujah. He sent them to Joppa. Amen. Cornelius had respect for the man of God. He had respect for the man of God. And the Bible says, if you continue to read on, verse 24, look at verse 24. It says, and the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them. You see, Cornelius was waiting for them. He could not just wait to see this man of God. The Bible says he waited for them. And Cornelius waited for them. Amen. Amen. And had called together his kinsmen and near friends. Look at that. You see how he's treating a man of God. He's calling his kinsmen. He's calling his friends. He's calling all these people to come around. You see, this is how much respect he has for a man of God. And this is how he values a man of God. He treated a man of God with respect. Hallelujah. He called his household. He called his friends. He called rich people, centurions, other generals. Come around. Someone great is coming. Even though he's not popular. Even though he's not known. Even though he's not so great. Even though he's a fisherman that has turned a man of God. Do you understand what I'm sharing with you? No one knows him in the where was it that Paul went when the philosophers gathered? What was that place? When Paul went to argue with the philosophers. It will come to me, I'll tell you. He was never seen there. Hallelujah. Do you know where I'm talking about? Oh, people don't read your Bible. Paul went there and was arguing with them about philosophy and telling them, and then they said, we shall hear you next time. Not Agrippa. I will remember and I'll tell you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Is somebody understanding what I'm sharing with you? So look at that. Verse 25. It says, and as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. Look at that. This is an army general, an important man. But he was so godly, he met him. He says he waited. One day he sent the man, he waited. And he called his friends to come and all for them to wait. And then when Peter came, he ran to meet him, fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. Do you see? Some of you, you know, you there are some people, they serve the man of God. They treat the man of God with respect. And their friends say, are you a fool? Why are you behaving like a child around him? Why are you doing that? And you see, and they make you feel like that. But they are not godly. They don't understand spiritual things. Hallelujah. Sometimes you are serving a man of God with humility, and you bow, you bring your drink to a man of God and you kneel, and then your friends will tell, why are you doing all this? It's not necessary. Why are you behaving like a child? You may be even older than him. Do you see? It is a spiritual thing to respect a man of God. Hallelujah. No matter how young or old he is, no matter how simple he is, Amen. But Cornelius, he treated the man of God with respect. Hallelujah. He says he waited. He waited. He couldn't wait for the man of God to come and visit him. There are some of you, they don't even want the pastor to come to visit them. You don't want the pastor to come to visit you. Sometimes the pastor comes. And for that matter, anyone that the pastor sends. You see, when you have respect for the man of God, you have respect for anyone that represents the man of God also. Do you understand what I'm sharing with you? You have respect for anyone. If I am not here and I say Brother Emmanuel is standing in my stead to minister, you have respect for him also. Hallelujah. You have respect for anyone that the man of God is choosing as a leader. You have respect for anyone that the man of, or anyone that is associated with the man of God. His wife, his children, his friends, everyone that he associates. You have respect because you respect the person. Hallelujah. Is someone understanding what I'm sharing with you? You see, Cornelius, he had respect for the man of God. There are some people, your man of God comes to your door, they knock, and then they look in a pinhole and they don't open. Even downstairs, they ring the bell and they know it's the pastor. They will not open the door. Hallelujah. But Cornelius, he waited for the man of God. Hallelujah. He waited for the man of God. And the Bible says, but Peter took him up, saying, stand up. I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. You see, Peter didn't even know. But there were many that had come together. And he said unto them, ye know that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. Do you see? But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. You see, Cornelius could have taken insult from that right there. He said, but why you talk to me like that? An angel visited me. Do you know who I am? I am a centurion. Do you understand what I'm sharing with you? You see, and then you are coming to tell me I am a common and I'm unclean and I am this. He could have taken offense to that. He could have felt insulted that you are a Jew and you don't associate with people like me. Clear off. Go. Do you know which people visit me? Angels. Angels. Who are you? Are you my co-equal? I will just talk to my... Get clear off. Let me just continue my prayers. God will send me big and better people. Do you understand what I'm sharing with you? You see, he could have taken offense to that. He could have taken offense to that. Hallelujah. But the Cornelius sat down. He says, therefore came I unto without gainsaying. As soon as I was sent for, I asked therefore, for what intent we have sent me. Hallelujah. Is someone understanding what I'm sharing with you? He says, therefore I came because of what I have been told. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago. Now look at this, verse 29. He says, therefore came I unto you without gainsaying. As soon as I was sent for, I asked therefore. He says, now this is what Peter says. Peter says, I asked therefore, for what intent have you sent for me? Look at that. This is the man of God. So Cornelius could have said, but you don't even know. Did you have a revelation? You don't even know why you are here. So you call yourself a prophet and God did not even reveal to you why you are coming. Do you see? He says, now tell me why I am here. It means that, but you have come all the way from Joppa. If you are a real man of God, God didn't tell you why you are coming. God didn't reveal anything to you. There are some people, when they have a problem, they expect that God has revealed it to the pastor. So if the pastor is really praying for me, he should know about this problem. Do you understand what I'm sharing with you? There are some people, they dream and they see the pastor in the dream also. And if this pastor is a real prophet, then God should have also shown him this dream. But look at Peter. He says, I ask therefore, what intent I am here? Tell me why I am here. Now I have to tell you why you are here. But Cornelius, as godly as he was, he said, and Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard and thine arms are hard. And thine arms are hard in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately, therefore, I sent unto thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. I am glad that you have come. I am happy that you have come to visit me. He says, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, we are all here, present before God, to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. We are here. Tell us anything that God has commanded you. Anything. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of person. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. So he began, he says, the thing that I'm going to tell you is not something that you have not heard. But I will tell you again. It's the same story about the gospel. Do you see how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hung on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that he is which was ordained of God to be judge of quick and the dead. Hallelujah. Do you see? And so Peter just preached this simple message to him. Have you not heard this message before? I'm asking you. Have you not heard this message before? Have you not heard this gospel story before? But look at this. He says, look at verse 44. He says, while Peter, yes, spake these words. What words? The same gospel story. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them, which what? Heard the word. Which heard the word. Beloved, that is why God sent the man of God to him. That they will hear the word from the man of God. And as they heard, you see, I believe that there were a lot of people who were around the house. There were probably people who were next door. Bystanders who saw a lot of people going to their house and they were wandering and gossiping around the area and waiting when they would come out. They did not hear the word. But the ones who heard the word, the Bible says, the Holy Ghost fell on them. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost fell on them. Don't have any magnificent expectation from the man of God. Don't expect any acrobatics from the man of God. Don't expect any commodious and hundred things from the man of God. All that you expect is that you hear the word of God from the man of God. And when you hear, something happens to you. When you hear, something gets transformed in your life. When you hear, a change happens in your life. When you hear, there's a transformation that comes in your life. That is when you hear the word. When you hear the word. Hallelujah. It says that the Holy Ghost fell on them that heard the word. That is what we want, the Holy Ghost. If you have the Holy Ghost, you don't need me. If you have the Holy Ghost, he will show you all things whatsoever you ought to do. If you have the Holy Ghost, he will teach you what you need to do. Hallelujah. And that is the work of the man of God. That as you hear the word, the Holy Ghost himself will minister to you. The Holy Ghost himself will visit you. The Holy Ghost himself will tell you what to do. Hallelujah. He says, and the Holy Ghost fell on them when they heard the word. Hallelujah. Even though the man of God did not have a prior revelation of what had transpired with Cornelius and with the angels. Hallelujah. Some people get upset when they are rebuked by the man of God. Some people get offended when they are rebuked by the man of God. Sometimes it's because they feel too big. Some people feel too big. I'm a grown up. You can't talk to me like that. I'm someone's father. I'm someone's mother. I am a graduate. You see, Cornelius was a centurion. I'm a graduate, and you didn't even go to school. You see, but God will give you a simple man of God. Someone that is not popular. Someone that is nothing. But have respect for the man of God that God has given to you. Hallelujah. You see, as you have grown now, who can rebuke you? You see, no one can rebuke you. Your parents, they can't rebuke you. Your parents, you are the one that even, you feed them. You give them money for them to eat. They are afraid to even talk about your matter. Do you understand what I'm sharing with you? If you don't send money, they don't eat. So at this age, at this stage in your life, they can't even rebuke you. Hallelujah. So if a man of God cannot speak into your life and rebuke you, then who else can rebuke you? Hallelujah. But one thing that I want you to know is that sometimes when a man of God is rebuking you, it is directly coming from God. Hallelujah. I say it is directly coming from God. You know, King David, he was a very mighty king. He was a very great king. He was a great warrior. Hallelujah. He was one of the greatest kings in his time. He ruled a mighty kingdom. Hallelujah. He was powerful. King David, through King David and the revelations that he had with God, we had a book of Psalms. Mighty, powerful prayers. Hallelujah. But we never heard of a book of the prophet Nathan. We never heard of, have you seen a book by the prophet Nathan? But when God needed to rebuke David for taking Uriah's wife, when God needed to rebuke him, he sent a pastor. He sent a man of God to go to him and rebuke him, even though he was a great king. Hallelujah. Even though he was a powerful preacher. Even though he has written book, Revelation from the Spirit. But when God needed to rebuke him, he sent a pastor, Prophet Nathan, to go to him and rebuke him, to sort him out. Hallelujah. Amen. That story is in 2 Samuel chapter 12. When you go home, you can read it. Hallelujah. Amen. I tell you, when God wants to visit you, when God wants to do something, when God wants to make a transformation in your life, he will always send a man of God your way. And have respect for the man of God. When Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9, when he had an encounter with Jesus Christ himself, the Bible says that, and a light shone from heaven. And he had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ himself. And he says, Saul, Saul, why thou persecuted me? And you would think that the ministry that Jesus had for Saul or Paul, he was going to tell him right there. But he said, he sent him and he sent a man of God, Ananias, to go to him. And he says, go and tell him what to do. Let me just show you and then we can bring the message to an end. Let me just show you something in Acts chapter 9. Is somebody being blessed? I hope you are blessed. Look at Acts chapter 9. You all remember this story. You see, and the Bible says in verse 4, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecuted thou me? And he said, verse 5, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus. The voice said clearly, no obscurity around it. He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Do you see? Give me a ministry. I have repented. What would you want me to do? Tell me what you want me to do. Sometimes you pray and you say, you want to know, you want God to tell you what to do. And then you come to church. Sometimes right after that prayer, you come to church and then you're communicating or you're talking to me and I say, why don't you join the choir? Oh, I cannot sing, Reverend. You just prayed last night. You want to know. You just prayed what God should let. And what do you want me to do, Lord? Tell me, Lord, in the house, I want to do something. Please reveal to me. And you come to church the next Sunday. And I say, why don't you join the choir? Oh, Reverend, I can't sing. Because it's coming from a man of God. I want to hear God myself. But look at this. He says, Lord, what would thou have me to do? And he said, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. It shall be told thee. You will be told what you ought to do. Hallelujah. And he went. He went there. And then look at this. Verse 10. He says, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. He said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. Listen. He says, for behold, he's praying. He's praying to me. Do you see? He's praying. And then what? He says, and had seen a vision. And a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Do you see? He's praying. But his prayers have risen before the Lord. And you would think that God would just go and just touch his eyes and then open them. But he's giving him a vision that it is a man who is coming to touch your eyes to open them. Even though I have heard your prayers. Guys, you understand the preaching? Even though I have heard. Do you hear? Jesus said he's praying. He's praying. It means that he has heard his prayer. He has heard his prayer. You know, sometimes we make decisions as we choose our man of God. We choose our man of God. But sometimes the man of God that God has given you, you will neglect his voice. You neglect his voice. Some people have all sorts of prophets that they visit. All sorts of prophets. They come to church and Sunday, even after Sunday, after church, they go in the evening to some prophets for prayers. Hallelujah. They go, they visit some prophets. Oh, we see them on the internet. You see these people, they take you pictures. And they bring them on their websites. Some of you have seen you on the internet. Maybe one day I'll come and show you. Hey, our church members. Lighthouse Chapel International, Bronze Branch members on somebody's website. Receiving prophetic sayings and all sorts of things. But he says, he's praying. I've heard him. He's praying. His prayers have come to me. But I've given him a vision that a man is coming to him. He's the one who will touch him and he will receive his. He will put his hand on him that he might receive his sight. You see, Paul may feel so big that I've had a personal encounter with Jesus. He's the one that blinded me. He says he has something to me for me to do. He's going to open my eyes. Who are you? Do you see? He says, and Ananias was afraid. He says, I have heard many things about this man. How much evil he had done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he had authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. To bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Look at Saul's ministry being given to a man. Saul's mighty ministry, Paul's whole ministry is being described to a man. He did not hear one of this from the mouth of Jesus Christ. It was given to a man. He says, this is what I want. He says, go thy way. He is a chosen vessel unto me. To bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Hallelujah. Is somebody understanding what I'm sharing with you this evening? Beloved, I tell you, you need to take heed to the words of the man of God that God has given you. You need to pay attention to the words. And when you hear it, you ought to do it. Hallelujah. You ought to do it because many things that God wants to do for you, many great things that God wants to do for you, they are in the words of the man of God. Hallelujah. Many things that God wants to do for you, many doors that God wants to open for you, the direction is in the hand of the man of God. If only you will pay heed to his words and do when you hear, you'll be blessed. Put your hands together for the Lord as you stand onto your feet. Put your hands together. Hallelujah.
This is the air I breathe.
Yes.
This is the air I breathe.
A godly person will have a man of God. A godly person will have a man of God.
Your holy,
a godly person will have a man of God.
Presence,
yes.
Living in me. Oh, this is
my daily bread.
Lord, you are my daily bread.
This is my daily bread.
Your very word.
Your very word.
Spoken
to me.
And I.
Father, we thank you for your words. Lord, we thank you for all the revelations, oh Lord, that you have given us. We thank you, Lord, for showing us, oh God, how important it is for us, oh God, to be godly. How important it is for us, oh God, to receive from the man of God that you have given us, oh Lord. How important it is for us, oh God, to pay heed to our dreams and our visions. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for showing us the way. We thank you for giving us that clarity, oh Lord. Holy Spirit, we thank you. We give you all the praise. All glory belongs to you. It's not unto any man, but it's all unto you, oh Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We thank you.
I'm desperate for you.
If anyone is here this evening, you are not born again, you have not given your life to Jesus, and you want to come to Jesus, you want to give your life to Jesus, if that is your prayer this evening, just lift up your hand and I'll say a short prayer with you. You are here this evening, you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, just lift up your hand, lift up your right hand, and I'll say a short prayer with you. Anyone here like that? Anyone here? Anyone here? Do not leave here if you are not born again, if you have not given your life to Christ. Maybe you come here Sunday after Sunday, Tuesday after Tuesday, but you know you are very far from Jesus. If that is your prayer, you want Jesus Christ to come into your life, Lift up your hand and I'll pray with you. Lift up your hand. Why don't we all join? Let's say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. I am a sinner. I have sinned against you. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died for my sins. I believe you rose again from the dead. Lord Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I invite you this evening to come into my heart. Take control of my life. Be a master and a Lord of my soul. Lord Jesus, take control. I give you all the control. Lord Jesus, please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Why don't you clap for Jesus as you take your seat? If you meant this prayer seriously, you're taking this prayer, you are saying this prayer for the first time and you mean it. If you are also hearing us online and you mean this prayer, I want you to call us at 845-233-1272 and we will share some powerful things with you.
We don't want blessings, we want you. Open up the sky.
We hope you have been blessed immensely by this message. Join us at 1734 Williamsbridge Road in the Bronx on Sunday afternoons and Tuesday evenings. For copies of this and other messages, contact us via email at lci.bronx@gmail.com.